Hello and welcome to Pardes from Jerusalem, the podcast series from the Pardes Institute of Jewish Studies in Jerusalem. I'm Larry Kluger, a Pardes alum. This week, Nitzavim. Also this week, I'll be releasing the podcast for the coming 3 weeks of episodes up through Shabbat Shuvah. Now is a great time to talk to your friends about these podcasts, because now, with the end of Elul approaching, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur coming too, this is the time that people are thinking about how to change their relationship to Torah. Now is the time to talk to people and to mention how you enjoy the podcast and show them how they can tune in and listen and learn each week. Please let us know any of your experiences with doing that. We can see from our logs that the number of people downloading the podcast goes up every year around this time, so please mention it to your friends. Another thing to consider is a donation in support of the podcast. Pardes is a small institution, and your donation of any amount would make a real difference. You can donate anytime online via donate.pardesusa.org, and that URL is in the show notes for this episode, too. So this week, we have Rabbi Daniel Landes, the Rosh HaYeshiva and director of Pardes, who will be discussing Nitzavim. And now, Rabbi Daniel Landes.
Thank you, Larry. This week's double parsha, coming towards the end of the cycle of reading the Torah, not there at the end yet, but we're towards the end, Nitzavim Vayelech is extraordinarily stirring. Every few lines just is really a call and to action, a call to reflection. It gets you thinking, it gets you moving, it gets the heart pumping. And let me take a few verses from chapter 30, verse 11, kind of in the middle of the first part, the Nitzavim, pretty short parsha. And let's look at a few verses, but those few verses will call us back to a previous verse. So I'm going in the kind of the middle and take us back. Starting in verse 11, which is a beginning of what's called a parsha. It's a section. If you looked at the Sefer Torah, the Torah scroll, you would see that there's a little white period, or space, I should say, before this set of verses, and there's a white space afterwards, and that's called a section, a parsha. Ki ha mitzvah hazot asher nochi mitzavcha hayom, lo niflet hi mimcha, v'lo rechoka hi. For this commandment which I command thee this day, lo niflet, it's not hidden from thee, following the Ibn Ezra's translation, nor is it far off. Lo v'shamayim hi lemor mi alel lanu ha-shamayma, v'yikachecha lanu, v'yishme'enu ota v'na'asena, nor is it beyond the sea. Excuse me, verse before. It is not in heaven that thou should say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it? V'lo me'ever l'yam hi, le'mor mi'avar lanu el ever hayam v'yikachah lanu v'yishme'enu ota v'na'asena. Nor is it beyond the sea that thou should say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it to us, bring it back to us, that we may hear it and do it. Ki karov elecha hadavor ma'od, beficha uvilvavacha la'asoto. But the word is very near to thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. So let me just read the English over together. For this commandment which I command thee this day, it is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. It is not in the heaven that thou should say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it back to us that we may hear it, or bring it down to us that we may hear it and do it. Nor is it beyond the sea that thou should say, who shall go over the sea for us on our behalf and bring it back to us that we may hear it and do it. But the word is very near to thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. For this commandment, which commandment? The Ramban points out that whenever the Torah says this commandment, it could very well mean all the commandments. In a certain sense, all 613, the traditional number of the commandments, is one great commandment coming from God, do my will. Ki mitzvah hazok could very much refer to that. But the Ramban says nonetheless that probably, and he determines that he thinks it refers to the verses, this is verse 11, verses at the beginning of chapter 30, and now I'm going backwards. And this will be the context of how we understand the verses that we have so far read. But at the beginning of verse 30, it says, V'hoya ki yavou alecha kol devrim ha'ela ha'bracha v'kala asher natati l'fanecha, v'hashevota el levavecha, b'cha goyim asher hidichacha, adonai olhecha shama. And shall come to pass when all these things are come upon thee, which refers to the blessing and the curse which I have set before thee, that thou shalt call them to mind. You'll think about them. You call them to mind amongst all the nations into which the Lord thy God has driven thee. And you shall return to the Lord thy God. And you shall return to the Lord thy God. So the context, according to Nachmanides, the Ramban, great medieval commentator, is the context of thinking about our purpose, our individual and national purpose, thinking about the blessings that come with doing the moral law, and the curse that entails to all of us when we disobey the moral law. You should take it to your heart, and you should return to Ad Hashem Elokecha, the Lord your God. In this month of Elul, that we start thinking and we're involved in Tshuva, the process of return, this is an important verse. It's always an important verse, but it's an important verse to be read now. And there's a classic question, which is, it says, V'shavta Ad Hashem Elokecha, you should return to the Lord thy God. How close? There is a question always about the word Ad. You're supposed to return to, the word to, Ad. Is it ad va'ad b'chlal or ad va'ad shalo b'chlal? When you say two, does it include the next term or the destination, the object, the direct object? Ad va'ad b'chlal, the ad is inclusive, or is it exclusive until, but up until that spot? In other words, if I say you should go to Chicago, does that mean really, or are you, in Hebrew, the word ad is almost like until. So to until, does it mean that you go to Chicago, you go from Cleveland to Chicago, that as soon as you are a step outside the city line designating Chicago, you have fulfilled what you said you would do. I'm going to Chicago, I mean up until Chicago, not going inside Chicago. Or does it mean, as we normally say colloquially, at least in English, that to Chicago means that you enter the city itself? And maybe even more than just enter the outward bounds, you go really into the city. But that's a general question in terms of the word ad as used in biblical usage. So now this becomes really important. Do you return to the Lord your God? What would that mean if it's inclusive? V'shavta ad Hashem Elokecha, what would it mean if it's exclusive? Well, inclusive would mean that you go into a complete direct identification with God. That's the term that's used in mysticism, union mystica. That you go so close that you merge yourself with God. That you become enveloped by God. That actually the great challenge that's placed here in these two verses is that you should become so close with God that you're actually identified with God. In fact, you lose your own identity. Or does it exclusive means you go up until? The first notion of the mystical notion is a great notion. I'm not going to dwell any further on it right now because I think its own attraction we understand. But I would say that, as I read the Torah, v'hashevota el levavecha, that you should take this in mind, v'shavta ad Hashem Elokecha, you should return to the Lord your God, it's ad v'ad shalo b'chlal, it's actually exclusive. It means that you go up until God. You go to a spot that you're still separate from God, but very close to God. That is the first notion of inclusion, is the notion of being overwhelmed by God. In a certain sense, ultimately, it means losing your own identity. Again, it's a mystical notion, uniting with God, union mystica. The other notion, I think, exclusion, is a notion of relation. It's the notion of the I-thou relation, in which we are not lost in God, but we are total in a total relationship with God. It's actually that which halacha seems to prescribe. That halacha means that we still have our own individual identity. We go as close as possible to God, which God is still God, the human is still human, we do not lose our identity. Our identity is formed in this great relationship with the eternal thou, capital T, which is God. If that's the case, then we could read those verses that I read earlier, starting in verse 11, in the following manner. For this mitzvah which I have commanded you today, which is returning to God, ad v'ad shelo b'chlal, it means exclusive of the ad, of the direct object, return up until God, in direct relationship to God. It's not hidden, it's not a matter of mysticism. V'lo rechakahi, it's not some distant type of thought. Because this mitzvah, lo v'shamayim hi, it's not a heavenly mitzvah, in which we say, who shall go up to us to heaven and should bring it back, bring down to us this Torah, this mitzvah, this word of God. Vayeshmienu alta v'na'asena, or that we should do it, or na'asena, we should do it so that we may be able to fulfill it. Let me explain. Rashi says, well, Shemayim, it's not in heaven, because if it was in heaven, we would have to go up, one would think, to go and perform it there. Many think of the Torah, especially in the mystical sense, as a perfectionist system. It's a system which demands for us that we do things in such a perfect manner, in such a complete manner, that it changes the very cosmos and how the cosmos acts. The great notion in Jewish mysticism is that every act below is a great cause and has a great effect upon what happens above. That actually, in many ways, not only do we influence the cosmos, we actually influence, as it were, as the mystics would say, as it were, we don't fully understand it, we influence even God himself. The forces, the manifestations of God himself, the sefirot of God. But if you say ad v'ad shelo b'chla, if you say if it's exclusive, you go up until God, it's a relation, I thou, relationship notion, halachic notion is a little bit different. The difference is no, it's not up there in heaven. It's down below. It's something to be affected in life. It's something to be understood here. And even though we believe the Torah itself is perfect, we know that we're imperfect. And therefore, we know that every time we'll do the Torah and we'll perform the mitzvot, we'll try to embody as much as possible that which the Torah has. We're aiming for the highest level, but we're not aiming for perfection. We're aiming for the human ability to do the mitzvah. Perfection belongs to God. Perfection belongs to the Torah. There's not a cause to slough off. It's actually a cause for great responsibility. Don't give up on doing it because you only could do it if it's perfect. I can only observe the Shabbos. I can only observe Kash. I can only do it if I can do it totally and absolutely perfectly. But if I can't do it in the perfect manner, maybe there's really no need to do it at all. Or if I can do Shabbos and Kashrus in a perfect manner, or even prayer in a perfect manner, maybe there's other mitzvot that I'm just too tired, and I can't even start to do those, and those are the mitzvot, the ethical mitzvot, and therefore sometimes we choose one or the other, for that matter, the ethical over the ritual over the ethical, the spiritual over the ritual. No, all of them need to be done, and they need to be done in a human way, which is not a heavenly way, it's a human way, to our best ability. Therefore, lo me'aver l'yami, it's not something foreign to us. It's not something that belongs to just being over there. And here we're not talking about heaven. The metaphor is different. It belongs to something that was done in the old country, whether it was Warsaw or Aleppo. or whether it's an Aver Yam, it can only be done in some perfected reality. No, no, no. This is something that can be done here. Ki karove lecha hadavar, the thing is very close to you. Ma'od, very close to you. And why is it close to you? Because it is supposed to be part of your life. In your mouth, how you speak, how you talk, rationality. Speaking is always referred to by the great Jewish thinkers. Speaking is a form of lucidity, of rationality. Ubilvavacha, your innermost spiritual being, your emotional being. Soficha refers to your cognitive abilities. Ubilvavacha is your affective abilities. Lasoto, in terms of your action, to do it, all three things. And it starts actually with ficha, speaking it. Talking the Torah, reading the Torah, thinking it through. It must go into the heart. But it goes from the mouth to the heart, and from the heart finally into action. This mitzvah is not far from us. This mitzvah of doing tshuva is not a perfectionist scheme. It's a human scheme. It's a human scheme in relationship to the divine. It's an eye, which is always a human eye, to the eternal perfected thou through the medium of the Torah. V'shavta ad Hashem Elokecha, you return to the Lord your God. For the mystics, and it's okay for us at times to be mystical, that will mean those moments of inclusion. And for the rest of the time, for those living with work and responsibility and with families, with those that you love, on your own, within society, return unto the Lord your God. Listen to what he has to, v'shamata v'kolo, listen to his voice, and do the job that needs to be done. Talk the talk, feel the talk within, and walk the walk. It's really the glory of Judaism that all these things are possible and are commanded and are urged for us to do it. This is how we become human. Shabbat Shalom.
Thank you, Rabbi Landes. Your comments, as I mentioned at the top of the program, are always appreciated, so please send an email to podcasts@pardesusa.org. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you on the next episode of Pardes from Jerusalem.